This is Mike Pinder, co-founder of the Moody Blues. You're listening to WBAI, New York.
Coming up next is Ecologic right here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org.
You don't know what you've got till it's gone. It paid paradise, put up a parking lot.
If they keep on polluting the earth, tell me where we gonna plant our seed. It makes me wanna cry for the children. Makes me wanna cry for Mother Earth. Makes me wanna cry for we could do. There's so much we could know if we listen to the earth.
Glad you could join us for our last Ecologic at 6 a.m. We hope that you'll move with us to Wednesdays at 10 a.m. Clean air and water are healthy air and water. Every day is Earth Day. I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Gellert.
And I'm Donna Stein. And this is Ecologic for July 15th, 2023.
When your air or water are clean, thank an environmentalist. If not, become one. Enough said.
Today we have information about how power strips can save you money. An NJDEP boondoggle, return of bipartisanship on the environment, the use of air conditioning, organic pesticide use in New York City parks, and a good decision on the Mountain Valley Pipeline.
We try to start every show with good news. Here's a victory. For quite a few years before COVID, from 2014 to 2021, environmentalists were fighting to ban poisonous pesticides in schoolyards, playgrounds, and public parks of New York City. Even with massive support from the city council, it took a while to pass, partly due to personality conflicts within the council, needing two different introductions with two different bill numbers. A group of kindergartners wrote a play and performed it at a city council hearing in 2017, telling the council members to use only natural pesticides. The bill passed in 2021.
The group Beyond Pesticides reports that a partnership of environmental, public health, and political action organizations has teamed up with the New York City Parks and Recreation Department to, quote, celebrate the success of pilot organic land management programs at 8 sites across the 5 boroughs, unquote. That success shows that synthetic poison is absolutely not necessary. The glyphosate in Roundup and other poisons, such as neonicotinoids, are not needed and never were. We link to the full article from our website, www.ecoradio.org.
But the success is not complete. Roundup is still sold. private gardeners can still use synthetic poison and often show that they are spraying from cans labeled Roundup, which is banned in many countries, including the European Union and throughout the Caribbean region. The Central Park Conservancy is a private organization and will not answer any questions about whether or not they use Roundup or neonics. With the success of organic pest controls, the Conservancy and all the park conservancies should now know better.
Before Reagan became president, environmental issues tended to be bipartisan, both with national and local legislatures. That has changed a lot since, but the pendulum seems to be swinging back. There are two environmental bills in New York that got overwhelming bipartisan support. One is the bill to ban the dumping of radioactive wastewater into the Hudson River. The other is to stop any New York agency or department from buying tropical rainforest wood. Both bills need to be signed by Governor Hochul to become law. She has not often been pro-environment in the past, despite environmental legislation getting massive public support and affecting our health, well-being, and quality of life. If you have an opinion on these bills, and we hope you do, please call the governor's office at 518-474-8390. It's usually best to make separate calls for each bill. That's 518-474-8390.
We got a question from one of our frequent listeners and callers, Angel, about the use of air conditioners. Should he feel guilty about it, or can he still consider himself an environmentalist while using it? It's a complex question. Important factors are health. If you have trouble breathing in the heat, use the air conditioning. Also, consider the source of the electricity. The best energy to use in a heat wave is solar energy, either directly or via community solar. Also, how long do you run it? And how low a temperature do you set? Using air conditioning briefly to cool a room, not necessarily a whole house or apartment, then turning it off is often sufficient. Back in the 1950s, an air conditioning company suggested that keeping the temperature within 10 degrees of outside, for example, 80 degrees when it's 90 degrees outside, makes it easier and healthier to transition from indoor to outdoor temperatures. Of course, the idea of 110-degree temperatures was not nearly as likely back then. Most important, the default should be to not use it, to start with a fan instead, to use it briefly, and always to make a conscious decision that this day is an appropriate day for air conditioning.
One of Pete Seeger's last songs that he wrote was Solartopia, which he performs here with Dar Williams, David Burns, and the Rivertown Kids.
300 years ago, Sir Thomas More invented the word utopia, where everything was going to be hunky-dory. But now we know it's going to be a green-powered Earth, and that'll be Solartopia.
Was there an Adam? Was there an Eve? Or did we evolve from what we conceived? Either way, we got what we needed when the sun shone down on the Garden of Eden.
From Seabrook to Shoreham Town, we have to shut those new plants down. But
don't you know we're gonna have a Solartopia, Solartopia, Solartopia. Solartopia, don't you know we're gonna have a Solartopia all over God's green world.
Now we're fighting wars over oil and gas. No matter who wins, it will not last. The earth is scarred, the planet is warming. Don't you think that all of it's a great big warning?
Don't you know we're gonna have a Solartopia, Solartopia, Solartopia. Don't you know we're gonna have a Solartopia all over God's green world? We'll learn to climb houses and cars, to light that's made up in the stars. It's a gift to share.
This is the wonderful positive way of approaching the problem. Don't just say don't. Let's say do something good. And this is the most exciting time in the world to be living. There's never been such an exciting time. Wind power, sun power.
That was Pete Seeger, Dar Williams, David Burns, and the Rivertown Kids singing Solartopia, one of my very favorite Pete Seeger songs.
When I want the real environmental news from New Jersey, there are a few good sources. One of the best pull no punches sites is Wolf Notes. Author Bill Wolf was the New Jersey Department of Environmental Protection, NJDEP, official for years, so he knows the agency from inside. The people may change, but New Jersey politics remains the machine-driven, insider game it has always been. And Bill Wolf sees through the propaganda to the sometimes hidden reality. Polluters write their own rules, their own fines and penalties, do their own analyses with no oversight. This happens throughout the country as regulatory agencies' budgets and staff are slashed, but their mandates remain the same. Here's an example uncovered by Bill Wolf. This might sound familiar to what you've heard the U.S. EPA not do. Clearly, the ruling was written by Solvay for Solvay. They even put in how they can't be sued in the future.
We have mentioned forever chemicals, PFAS, per- and polyfluoroalkyl substances, a number of times on previous shows. They are a national problem, and companies are facing massive fines and lawsuit settlements after their effects are found. Recently, the New Jersey DEP announced a, quote, historic, unquote, $75 million legal settlement over the natural resource damages, NRDs, caused by Solvay Polymers Forever Chemicals in and around West Deptford, a small town across the Delaware River from Philadelphia. Well, Bill Wolf saw the news and smelled a rat. In his June 28th post on wolfnotes.com, he pointed out that other states have reach settlements in the billions with a B, that most of the $75 million would be due to simply enforcing laws on the books. He says the proposed Solvay deal combines several categories of funds, noting that these categories are already required under existing DEP regulations and as such are not really an outcome based on the litigation. They are routine enforcement and cost recovery items. And further, that most of the settlements involves compliance with current DEP cleanup regulations, and that should have been enforced long ago.
Environmental lawyer Joel Kupferman has said at more meetings than I can count that we don't need new environmental regulations. We just need to enforce the laws we already have.
Is $75 million a reasonable amount? There's really no way to know. The DEP settled the natural resource damages with little or no scientific knowledge of the actual natural resources damages. This huge mistake is revealed by the text of the settlement itself, which requires that Solvay conduct an ecological assessment to document NRD injuries. something that should have been done by DEP, not Solvay, and before any settlement.
Mm-hmm.
So is Governor Murphy following the Chris Christie Exxon playbook? Well, who knows? But despite the DEP calling this the largest single-site NRD and remediation case in New Jersey history, most of the settlement does not actually relate to NRD. They're pretending it's about damages, but it's really enforcement of rules and not going to remediation of damages.
It gets worse, if that's possible. The DEP is allowing Solvay to conduct the sampling and cleanup under the control of a private consultant known as an LSRP, Licensed Site Remediation Professional. This sort of corporate polluter noncompliance and negligence demands DEP oversight, even with the DEP's reduced staff and budget, especially when they had to file a lawsuit simply to enforce existing laws. When a corporation is allowed to investigate themselves, they seem to never find out that anything was wrong. That seems to be the excuse to allow that practice to continue, when it should be the excuse to stop that practice. And there's more from Bill Wolf. Quote, DEP promises to work hard to comment on Solvay's work with deadlines. There is no public comment on Solvay's work, unquote. In fact, Solvay's licensed site remediation professional is not required to report on their direct oversight remediation, nor do a feasibility study, and may itself select the remedial action to be implemented, all without hearing from the public. Crazy, huh? No, sadly, just a little worse than usual. In fact, documents are not required to be made public, made available to the public, or even subject to the Open Public Records Act. In addition, Solvay is protected from further lawsuit regarding 25 miles of Delaware River. Solvay admits no wrongdoing or liability, and the agreement cannot be used as evidence in any other litigation or future proceeding.
And the final straw? From paragraph 45 of the agreement, that DEP will fully and forever release, covenant not to sue, and agree not to otherwise take administrative or civil action against Solvay and its respective current and former corporate officers, directors, employees, agents, predecessors, parents, successors, affiliates, and subsidiaries for any and all causes of actions for natural resource damages arising from discharges or any other causes of action that were brought or could have been brought arising out of any allegations in plaintiff's complaint in the lawsuit, including but not limited to alternative or additional theories of liability in any way arising out of or relating to the discharges, unquote. I think they should have added, yeah.
You know, I don't care if they pay the company's entire net worth. Without independent investigation, how can the NJDEP make such promises and still claim to represent New Jerseyans? If you wrote this as fiction, you'd never find a publisher. For Bill Wolf's entire analysis, go to www.wolfnotes.com. That's www.wolfenotes.com.
Here's Tom Chapin singing Pretty Planet, which exemplifies why we do this show.
Spinning through space, your garden, your harbor, your holy place. Golden sun going down, gentle blue giant, spin us around all through the night. Safe till the morning light.
This pretty planet spinning.
Gentle blue giant, spin us around. This pretty
That was Tom Chapin singing Pretty Planet. Tom sang that song with the audience at the Save the Hudson rally on May 6th.
Special thanks to Charlie Olson of the Environment TV for helping to get the recorded portion of our show ready for you for all our 6 a.m. shows. You're listening to Ecologic, WBAI's premier environmental show, right here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org. I'm Sally Gellert.
And I'm Donna Stein.
And I'm Ken Gale. Ecologic is moving to Wednesday mornings at 10 a.m. starting this Wednesday. So this is the last time being with you at 6 a.m. We hope you'll move with us. We'll be going to your phone calls very soon.
WBAI, there's no station like it. You tell us that every time we meet with you. We give you content you don't get on other media.
We don't bend to corporate advertisers at WBAI or at other Pacifica stations, as our funds come from listeners like you, and some public service announcements.
Two friends of mine, Silver Age comic book artist Gene Cohen and his wife Adrian, moved to Central Florida when they semi-retired. They missed WBAI so much, it was a major reason they moved back to Brooklyn. She said she had no idea how much they'd missed the station until they didn't have it anymore. There's a specialness to WBAI that goes beyond the shows themselves.
We often hear from people who used to listen to WBAI, usually about how they have rediscovered us and appreciate our independence and the news, information, and entertainment that is so different from corporate media. We have such a great history. Some of us have been listening for decades, not always consistently, but we come back and find good programs.
Some of them are old favorites. Ecologic has been on WBAI for more than 21 years. Help ensure that when you tune in next, we are here for you. Please support us with a donation today to let us know that you're listening. No amount is too small or too big. You can contribute by mail or call 212-209-2950 or go to ecologic.wbai.org.
Those of you who are members, please watch out for the upcoming vote. It will be as important to saving the station as it was back in October 2019. If you've donated at least $25 since last July up to June 30th, or volunteered at least 3 hours, you are considered a voting member. There is voting every year, so becoming a member is always a good thing. Please send in your $25. This is really your radio station.
The last time you listened to commercial radio, what were they trying to sell you? You who listen to WBAI have access to information that your friends and family who don't listen don't have. You hear experts they don't hear. You have facts they don't have. You know about events they don't know about. This is your station, your programming. Be part of it. And please, show your love by donating in the name of Ecologic.
There was an opportunity a few years ago, in October 2019, when producers and listeners met together to save the station from a rogue group from Pacifica that was threatening and almost closed WBAI. The good that came out of that is that we got to meet some of you. Gosh, you guys really are out there. I met listeners who were delighted to meet the voice in person and went on about how valuable Ecologic is and say how much they appreciate us. Always nice to hear. Of course, when you donate to the station, we know you're out there. Also, when you like us on Facebook or send us email, our address is on our website, or come to our events like the recent tour of Governor's Island, or when you come to a rally we tell you about. Let's think of more ways to interact. Tell the call center you are calling to donate or get a premium or become a BAI buddy in the name of Ecologic.
Ecologic has many premiums to choose from for a donation to WBAI. Call 212-209-2950 or go to ecologic.wbai.org.
We support every environmental issue, so a donation to us is like supporting many groups. Ecologic brings you actions you can take, rallies, marches, direct actions, letters, emails, petitions, concerts, webinars, conferences, lobbying efforts. It's all important. Help us to help community groups get the word out.
Some of us can't get to remote actions, but there are lots of ways to support, including donating to WBAI and Ecologic, so that we can continue to bring you activists, journalists, eyewitnesses, and more, along with environmental music and artists.
Your support of Ecologic really makes a difference.
Go to the WBAI archives and listen to an episode of Ecologic that you missed or want to hear again. www.ecoradio.org has a list of the last 3 years of Ecologic and direct links to hear them.
If you prefer not to donate online or through the call center, you can send a check or money order for your membership and our premiums. Mail to WBAI Radio, Attention Membership, 388 Atlantic Avenue, Brooklyn, New York, 11217. That's 388 Atlantic Avenue, Brooklyn, 11217.
We really hope that you'll take the time to look through our list of premiums. We're sure you'll find something you'll want. You can find all our premiums on ecologic.wbai.org.
This past Thursday, July 13th, was the third annual National Green Amendment Day, led by For the Generations. Maya Von Rossum has been a guest on Ecologic, and green amendments are making a difference in three states, Pennsylvania, Montana, and now New York, including in one of the young people's lawsuits on which we reported recently. We congratulate For the Generations on their efforts to support activists in many states working on green amendments. New York was the third state, and we're looking for other states in the region to be up next. Connecticut, New Jersey.
In news related to Holtec, Yahoo News reports that the company that wants to dump that radioactive wastewater into the Hudson, a lawsuit that was filed last month in State Superior Court in Camden, New Jersey, former Chief Financial Officer Kevin O'Rourke accused Holtec of trying to coerce him to submit inaccurate and false financial statements to Hyundai, a major investor, allegedly involving hundreds of millions of dollars. The company then fired him when he refused the lawsuit, stated. Holtec owns a number of closed nuclear reactors across the country, unfortunately, and plans to profit from each plant's decommissioning trust fund by taking apart the plants for less money than the balance of the trust funds. According to the suit, the prospectus misrepresented a statement about self-financing a $300 million manufacturing facility build when, in fact, defendants, Holtec, raised the money by selling state tax credits. The financial projections within the prospectus were either materially false or completely unattainable and unrealistic, according to the lawsuit.
As we've been bringing to your attention the last few weeks, Governor Hochul has not signed the Save the Hudson bill to stop Holtec from dumping radioactive wastewater. She hasn't even asked for it. The bill got bipartisan support by both houses of the New York legislature, and now nothing yet. Call Hochul and tell her to ask for the bill and then sign it or not, but take action. We're worried that she will ignore the bill until after Holtec has dumped radioactive wastewater into the Hudson River. But this is an opportunity to set a precedent for other states coping with the decommissioning reactors. The info we gave you last week about the dangers of tritium was given with this bill in mind. Call the governor and give your opinion about the bipartisan bill to ban the dumping of tritium in the Hudson River. Her number is 518-474-8390. That's 518-474-8390.
Despite our agreement with Bill Wolf's criticism of the NJDEP, we have to acknowledge when they get something right, and they definitely have done with Liberty State Park. Recent reports on the money fighting the public on this issue are eye-opening. So Commissioner Sean LaTourette and his team get extra points for withstanding the onslaught. Hudson County is the most congested in the county in the United States, and the park attracts 5 million visitors annually, more than Yellowstone or Yosemite. The Star-Ledger says, New Jersey's most popular meeting venue, a sacred space of history, community, and majesty, is about to become grander, and it's all because the good guys finally won.
Mm-hmm. Is the fight totally over? Likely not. As the Jersey Journal states, and this will sound familiar no matter what state you live in, there will always be other forms of resistance because this is New Jersey. We're protecting public property from the depredation of private interests is an ongoing concern. And while Governor Murphy has finally given his enthusiastic support to the plan, funding could always become an issue for his successor. Park activist Eric Connor was quoted by the Jersey Journal, "I don't think the fight is necessarily over. I think the scales have tilted back towards the public. But I think we still have to be vigilant." That's always the case, by the way, because there is a lot of money on the table. And when you have sunk that much into a campaign, I think it's really going to be tough for somebody like Fireman to back off. End quote.
Meanwhile, the Friends of Liberty State Park provide on their site, www.folsp.org, a schedule of the Summerfest 2023 free concerts in Liberty State Park, presented by Jersey Mayor Stephen Fulop, Jersey City Cultural Affairs, and Jersey City Free Public Library, on Sunday and Tuesday evenings, with jazz, Latin, rock, soul, Americana, and more. Certainly something for everyone in the diverse Hudson County city and beyond.
Fossil fuel use is one of the major drivers of climate change, and probably the best and easiest way for you to have an effect is by using energy more efficiently, wasting less, therefore needing less, and saving money while you're at it. Insulation, low-flow showerheads and faucets, LED light bulbs, and Energy Star appliances are all a big help. There are dozens of suggestions on many websites, with the most comprehensive list we've seen coming from the New York Solar Energy Society, www.nyses.org. But there is one easy way to save energy and money that doesn't get on too many of those lists, and you probably already have one or several already: power strips, those things that can hold many plugs at once and have an on-off switch for all of them. Surge protectors are even better. There's something called phantom load or vampire electricity. Most electrical equipment uses energy even when off, usually almost as much electricity as when they are turned off. It's the way all appliances are made.
If an appliance has a display, it's using a lot of electricity when it's off. It may seem like it can't be the case, but the appliance maker isn't paying your electricity bill, so what do they care if you use a lot of electricity when the appliance is turned off? The teeny cost of a chip, so appliances that are off don't waste as much energy, isn't worth it to them. If something works by a remote, it uses electricity when it's off. How does the appliance, when it's off, know that you pointed your remote at it to turn it on? Part of it is still on, drawing almost as much electricity as when it was off. Isn't that crazy? If something has one of those big, thick plugs that's called an inverter plug, and it uses electricity even when the appliance is off, wow. For this reason, it is always best to use a power strip and close it.
Yeah, what's the solution? The power strip. Put all of those vampires on the same power strip and turn the whole strip off when you're asleep or out or at work. Your bills will go down by an incredible amount. It's money in your pocket. That restaurant you can't afford to go to anymore? Now you can. That listener-supported radio station you listen to? Now you can afford to donate more to us.
Now is your opportunity to talk to us about your environmental questions, items we've discussed in the last 8 months, or new ones. Call in with your questions and comments. The call-in phone number is 212-209-2877. That's 212-209-2877.
While we're waiting for your calls, we want to read you this post from a local beekeeper. Earlier this evening, I received a message from a homeowner to say that they had a swarm of bees in their hedge, and they were worried about them because children had been throwing water at them. By the time my fellow beekeeper and I arrived, what had been a beautiful prime swarm was reduced to a few hundred drenched bees huddling limply around their queen. We gently place the bees that had survived into a collection box, and hopefully tomorrow, when they've had a chance to dry out and settle, We'll check on them and, if necessary, feed them. They'll be exhausted and possibly understandably defensive. They've been through a lot. Please, please help me educate your children, your grandchildren, your nieces and nephews, your neighbors, your colleagues, and your friends that a swarm of bees isn't dangerous. They're amazing creatures that are just looking for a new home. Please don't let anyone harm them. Just call a beekeeper who will gladly rehome them. Please help me to spread this message and hopefully save any more bees from being unnecessarily harmed. A sad and unhappy beekeeper, end post. That is what we do here. Celebrate nature.
And
I don't think we have to tell you the importance of honeybees for pollinating food and flowers and so many things in our daily lives.
And not just honeybees. There's a lot of varieties of bees, and they all are good pollinators. I have friends who are beekeepers, and they really like to go out and help a swarm find a new home.
Yeah, honeybees are about the only bee that has a swarm. But I mean, you see it in crossword puzzle clues that instead of a clue being a pollinator for bee, the clue is a stinger. And it's like, hey, wait a minute, there's more to bees than the fact that they sting. And of course, when a honeybee stings, the stinger comes out and she dies.
So they don't do that without real provocation.
Yeah. They do it when it's important to them, in defense. There was a beekeeper that I often has a table at the Union Square Green Market, and at one point, he has honey, right? He's selling honey, and he has the honey out so people can try the different kinds, and it attracts bees. And so what he'll do is he'll scoop some honey, put it on his finger, and then pick up the bee, and she'll start licking the honey off his finger.
Mm-hmm.
And I see all these people walking by, and they're freaked out because somebody has a bee on their finger. Now, all she's doing is eating, right? But they're freaked out because somebody else has one.
Yeah.
I mean, this is what people know about bees. I mean, I realize that most of you listening to Ecologic do know more than the people who are being freaked out as they walk by. But it's such a bizarre thing that we only know this one thing about bees. And still no calls. 212-209-2877. This is the last time we'll be able to take calls at this time slot, because we're moving to 10 a.m. on Wednesdays.
I think people are still listening to this particular version of the show on archive. So
I'm
sorry you can't call in, archivists, but you can come to our Wednesday show. We're going to be Wednesdays from now on at 10 a.m. So
we've had callers here before, so we're hoping that they'll pick up the phone and say hello and ask
An
environmental question or so.
Give the phone number again.
212-209-2877.
We do have about two or three people who regularly call in, and we always love to hear their calls. One of the listeners message me on Facebook, and you're welcome to like me on Facebook and like Ecologic on Facebook, said, to what do we owe this joyous change to Wednesday? So he obviously is one of those people who will not wake up at 6 a.m. But for those of you who have my cell phone, you can text me your questions also. All kinds of ways you can communicate with us.
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, we send out publicity to lots of different environmental mailing lists every week, and we certainly did get a lot of congratulations. And I guess we need to thank the program director, Linda Perry, for moving us to Wednesdays at 10 a.m.
Thank you, Linda.
We hope you 6 a.m. folks will join us there. We certainly don't want to lose you and lose touch with your good interests.
you know, I'm on Facebook and I post the memes for each week on my page and get a lot of people who like it. So we know that there's a lot of people who listen.
We do have a caller standing by.
Oh, good.
212-209-2877, and you're on the air.
Hi. I was wondering if you guys had any questions about any updates regarding all the cop cities that are being planned throughout the country. And I just wanted to give a shout-out that it's a wonderful thing that if you call Governor Hochul's office, you can just leave a voicemail whenever you want.
We did hear that one of the sponsors of Cop City has pulled out, and we will be reporting on that next week. I know there are various fusion centers that had been the term for a while across the country. We'll certainly check out what we can find.
What's a fusion center?
Well, that's where the various law enforcement agencies fuse, get together, and share information and you know, oppress us all, basically. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. I would consider it more like ground zero, for militarizing, further militarizing. And don't they have a surplus of toys just kind of waiting around to be played with somewhere?
Probably. They seem to have endless resources. It's really kind of annoying and disgusting that...
Some reason, the police forces of the U.S. seem to think that the people who live in urban areas are their enemy.
Yeah, whatever happened to
protect yourself?
As
gently
serve,
as I can. Because it's all euphemisms.
Whatever happened to what?
Protect and serve.
Oh, yeah, actually
who are they protecting and serving? Corporates and the elites.
Well,
I just saw on a blog there that not a blog, but somebody on a podcast that's actually never been true. So, unfortunately, there's a study that shows there's a 50-year study somewhere. I have yet to find it, but I just heard somebody cite it, like, specifically that that they did that shows that, indeed, police don't protect and serve because they only prevent 2% of crimes. So that's, anyway, that's in the United States or maybe in a city in the United States they did that study. Do you have any other questions? Or I mean, I have a list of...
We have another caller, so let's go to them.
Okay.
But thanks for calling.
Please know that if you go to ecoradio.org, you can do a search for Cop City and find other reports that we have done on Cop City.
Right. Okay. 212-209-2877, and you are on the air.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning.
I was on the news where they found the chemicals.
Who's calling, please?
My name is Mitch. I'm calling from Brooklyn. I was reading where they're finding these chemicals, forever chemicals in the drinking water.
Yeah,
and they're asking people to put filters on their water fountains if they can. But how are they? What are they putting these chemicals in? That's
they're in
getting
lots of things.
In
they're,
the drinking water.
Yeah, they,
how is
they're
the EPA
in,
before?
They don't add it to the drinking water. It's in everything that things that you're wearing, your clothes. When you do a wash, it goes into the laundry. I'm sorry, Sally, were you going to say?
No, I was going to say they're on nonstick cookware a lot. They're on water-resistant clothing, the fast fashion, the quickly produced high fashion items at a cheap rate for people to buy that don't last more than a couple of washings, if that, are full of all kinds of toxic chemicals, including the PFAS forever chemicals.
And it gets
some
into
companies
our water.
Are trying to get rid of them. They're finding it difficult to find something that works as well, but they are making the attempt, and we should all keep an eye out for that.
So how is the EPA authorizing these chemicals be put in these
There's
materials.
There's a lot of chemicals that the EPA doesn't do anything about. I'm not sure what, if anything, they've done with the PFAS chemicals. That's per- and polyfluoroalkyl chemicals.
Okay, let's defend the EPA and condemn them at the same time. during the Reagan administration, the staff of the EPA was cut a lot.
Yeah.
But the mandate that they had of protecting the environment was not cut, except that the head of the EPA was somebody who was a polluter. And the head of the Department of the Interior that the EPA is in was had been in a mining company, right?
Amazing. Right.
But
and we had the same thing with the Trump EPA, the head.
Yeah,
was
and the thing is that, that Clinton never changed it, Obama didn't change it, the Bushes didn't change it. This is what what's done. They just cut the budget. But you still have to do stuff. So how in the world do you find out whether a chemical is safe? You let the company do it for you.
No.
And this is the procedure about. We were talking about it with recent stuff in New Jersey just a little while ago. And the company does it, and they go, okay, we just invented this chemical. It's harmless. Approve it. So they rubber stamp it. And this is what is happening. This is why there's so much poison in the environment. Only a handful of the 100,000-plus chemicals that are in our environment have ever been tested, and none of them were tested when they're using two chemicals. So since they're all in the, they all get in the water eventually, whether they get in the water from, well, they're getting our bodies and we push them out, or they come out of refuse from a factory. However, they get into the water and they combine with other chemicals. Nobody knows what's going on when that happens. But anyway,
somehow we're lulled into the false assumption that our government and this organization or that organization is going to protect us. Unfortunately, that the only thing that works is when people like us speak up and we get environmentalists and we all become environmentalists if we care about the earth, air, and water.
People who don't breathe probably don't care.
But we do have another caller and we should probably go to the next caller.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, caller.
212-209-2877 is our number and you're on the air. Are
Hello?
You still there? Hi.
Hello.
I'm here.
Ah.
Do you hear me?
Greetings.
Yep.
Yeah, we do.
And who's calling?
Joel Kupferman.
Oh, I know you.
One of our favorite environmental lawyers in this entire country.
Thank you very much. One major point that I want to bring out is that the heat, how high it is, and the response of the city. They're telling people to go to cooling centers. 22% of these cooling centers are in senior centers do not have wheelchair access.
Oh, boy.
16% of the total cooling centers were not wheelchair accessible.
Whoa.
Which is a major problem that we should all be concerned about.
Crazy. By the way, Joe, I don't know if you were listening earlier, but we quoted you.
Yes, I heard that. That gave me a shot of adrenaline that woke me up even further.
Yeah, it's so true, though.
I think I'm going to record that and put it on my.
But unless they get implemented, they're worthless.
Right? Five or 10 minutes after the show ends, you can download it from the archives and use it for whatever you need to. It's so funny because when I'm at a meeting and you're at the same meeting and somebody says, oh, we need a law for this or that, I just look right over to you and you're there waiting impatiently for them to finish so that you can say, we already have that law.
It just needs to be enforced.
Your New Jersey coverage is totally on point.
Thank you.
Mr. Wolf is doing great work. But also urge people, the city's response to the fires has been less than ample. And so we definitely have to get some more foxes out of the hen house.
What do you propose the city do?
Well,
who do we talk to?
We just mentioned part of it's the cooling centers. you know, we want is a sort of a temporary fix, but they should be in libraries. They should retrofit rooms in libraries, tenant association meeting rooms at NYCHA, especially assisted living. But also, the first thing they would have to do is stop construction at brownfield sites. On the worst day, the June 6th, in Lower Manhattan, three blocks south of the World Trade Center, they allowed construction to continue while the dust was going into people's homes right next door. And what they
and into the lungs of their workers.
Into the workers, and the workers were not wearing protective equipment. So they actually blamed each other, whatever. But that's like the first thing that we, you know, that we could do, or one of the things that we could do. And the city actually blamed, you know, the Canadians for letting those fires burn. But there's a lot more that we could do. And also, it all comes down to air monitoring, to relying on other people's monitoring. But the city also should also protect their own workers more. During that day, they went out, the Department of Transportation workers went out, and they did milling, which is removing a top layer of asphalt on roads.
Yeah.
That's dangerous on the cleanest days, and they allow that to happen. So just going back to the enforcement of the laws, I'm urging everyone that's listening is to ask, you know, every one of their city council members, you know, thank you for introducing the those laws and rules with your name on it. What did you do this week to make sure that it was enforced?
Yeah, it's true. We all focus on getting a law passed and signed, and then we move on to the next thing. And we really have to come back once in a while and say, how's it working? Are you doing it?
Which goes back to what I said earlier. We have this false feeling that we'll be taken care of, that the authorities, the government, the organizations that work for the government are going to take care of us and follow through. They don't. We need to stay vigilant. We need to help to let them know that they need to keep everything enforced.
Even with the best intent in the world, they have limited resources, and they don't always have the best intent.
Joel, you want to give a website for how people can contact you?
Sure. www.nyenvirolaw.org.
Envirolaw.org. That's an easy one. EnviroLaw.org, that's an easy website.
And why? EnviroLaw, yeah.
And thank you for gracing the airwaves.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. Come back to us on Wednesday, this coming Wednesday.
Okay.
Okay.
Will do.
Thanks. Do we have one more caller?
No. It's time.
Oh my God, the time went so fast. Caller, thank you for calling, but we're sorry we don't have time for you because it's time to wrap up. So thanks for joining us this morning, everybody. We really enjoyed being with you on Saturday mornings and hope that you will join us on Wednesdays at 10 a.m. starting this Wednesday, July 19th. Our website is www.ecoradio.org. That's ECORADIO.org. In addition to an archive of our past shows, we have information on a variety of environmental topics. Go there. You'll have fun.
We'd love to stay in touch with you. So those of you online, please go to www.ecoradio.org and sign up for our email list. And those of you on Facebook, please like our page. We're at WBAI Ecologic, no dashes.
To support Ecologic, you can choose from our many premiums at ecologic.wbai.org. Or become a member or contribute monthly as an Ecologic BAI buddy. Call 212-209-2950. We love to see those Ecologic buddy pledges.
WBAI is a community radio station. There are lots of ways to get involved. And, of course, we need your donations. We do. We need your contributions to support everything that makes a broadcast happen. The engineers, electricity, equipment upkeep, rent. Pledging now during this show really helps Ecologic especially.
We're always glad to have you with us for Ecologic at 6 a.m., live or on the archives, and then on Wednesday.
If you missed the beginning of the show, it will be on the BAI archives in just 5 or 10 minutes. And our thanks to our engineer, Sean Rhodes. We couldn't do this without you. We're going to miss you, Sean. We look forward to working with Michael G. Haskins, but we're still going to miss you, Sean. I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Gellert.
And I'm Donna Stein. Join us at our new time this Wednesday, July 19th, or find us on the archives. Check our website for details. Thanks for being our listeners. We appreciate you.
See the sun, how bright it shines on the nations of the earth. All who share this thing called life celebrate each day's rebirth.
So
you to be my buddy.
Or buddies, as we like to refer to you as here at WBAI. Either way, we invite you to join us and become a member of this fine radio station. We want to partner with you, but we want to do it in the least imposing and most painless way possible. Here's the deal. It's called the Buddy Pledge. You give us your support for 12 months, and we give you access to the most eclectic music, as well as the best and thought-provoking news, talk, and community affairs. Sound good? See it in your heart to pledge a minimum of $10 per month. Each payment will automatically be deducted from your credit or bank statement, so there's no reminders needed. Just join us for a one-year membership and go online at www.give2wbai.org. That's give2wbai.org and be part of our vibrant community. WBAI New York.
The next WBAI Community Advisory Board meeting is Sunday, July 16th at 1 p.m. The meeting is held by teleconference at 619-309-1058. The PIN number is 641-711. The WBAI Community Advisory Board provides input to our local station board from our community members about programming and station operations. And everyone is welcome to call and join in this CAB meeting. Again, the meeting is Sunday, July 16th at 1 p.m. The call-in number is 619-309-1058. The PIN number is 641-711. We hope you can attend.
Clean air and water are healthy air and water. Every day is Earth Day. I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Gellert.
And I'm Donna Stein. Every week, we bring you environmental experts and activists, plus news, in-depth information, and solutions to environmental problems.
Join us at our new time, Wednesdays at 10 a.m., right here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, and WBAI.org.
Wednesday mornings, 10 a.m. When your air or water are clean, thank an environmentalist. If not, become one. Enough said.
Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone?
New York City never slows down. It can be tough to keep up with everything. That's where WBAI City Watch comes in. Sunday mornings at 8 o'clock.
I'm your host, Jeff Simmons.
And I'm Carlos Menchaca. And each week on City Watch, we try to make sense of it all, bringing on our policymakers, advocates, experts, and authors to understand the stories behind the headline. So grab your café con leche, turn your dial to 99.5 FM WBAI, or stream us on WBAI.org. Levántate. Wake up with us on Sunday mornings with me and Jeff Simmons, and get your news on.
Hi, this is Bobby Humphrey. You're listening to WBAI New York.